Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we plunge into the most fascinating ideas and deliver the essential insights directly to you. Today, we're tackling, well, a real titan of modern thought, Alain Badiou's Being an Event.
Definitely a big one.
Yeah, and it's not just another philosophy book, is it? It's this radical, really mind-bending reimagining of what is and, you know, how real transformative change actually happens.
Exactly.
Our mission today is really to give you the shortcut, the sort of aha moments from a text that, let's be honest, many find incredibly dense.
It has that reputation for sure.
Because at its core, this book makes a seriously audacious claim. Mathematics isn't just a tool for describing reality. It is the very language of being itself.
Which is, I mean, a profound refoundation of how we even think about existence.
Right. And we're going to try and break down how that leads to some surprising, maybe even relatable insights about, well, everything from love to political revolution.
And what's really fascinating here, I think, is that Badiou isn't just offering, you know, another perspective. He's really taking a definitive stand. Well, he positions himself against a lot of 20th century philosophy's turn towards relativism and skepticism.
Oh, okay, like postmodernism.
Precisely. Especially the idea that universal truths are maybe impossible or even undesirable. Badiou says no. He wants to provide a rigorously defined, almost scientific foundation for what's real, what's true, and how radical change can genuinely occur.
So he's going back to the big questions.
Exactly. He's asking that ancient question, what does it mean to be? But he's using this entirely new toolkit, aiming for a comprehensive theory that isn't afraid of making some really bold claims.
And the man himself, Alain Badiou, born 1937, educated at the École Normale Supérieure in Paris.
No.
I mean, a truly singular figure.
Absolutely.
His background is just, well, incredible. What's truly revolutionary here is that Badiou isn't just a philosopher in the traditional sense.
Right.
He has this deep understanding of continental philosophy, you know, that whole rich tradition. But he also has this rigorous technical mastery of mathematics, specifically set theory.
Which is not a common combination.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And then you add in his deep engagement in political militancy. He was a prominent activist back in the late 60s in France, often linked with Mao's thought then.
A very different dimension.
And on top of that, a real passion for aesthetics, poetry, theater, art. It's this incredible mix.
This interdisciplinary mastery is really what lets him build such a grand, systematic philosophy. It's something many of his contemporaries, well, they just couldn't or perhaps wouldn't attempt.
Now, for some people, encountering such a systematic approach, it might feel a bit rigid.
Yeah.
How does Badiou, with all this rigor, keep human experience, you know, central?
That's a really crucial point, because while the system is rigorous, it's precisely this blend that allows him to address human agency within such a formal framework. It's not detached.
Okay.
And we really have to give a shout out here to Oliver Feltham, the translator. His clarity and precision are just absolutely crucial for us in English to even access Badiou's, let's face it, challenging prose.
Definitely needed.
So with that groundwork laid, maybe let's dive headfirst into the conceptual universe he built.
Let's do it.
Okay. At its very heart, being an event makes this incredibly bold declaration. Ontological, the study of being, is mathematics.
Not like math, but is math.
Exactly. More precisely, it's modern axiomatic set theory. And he's not just using math as a metaphor here. He genuinely believes it's the formal language that describes the fundamental nature of existence.
Wow. So it's a radical recentering of truth, suggesting that this abstract logic actually reveals the fundamental fabric of reality itself.
Pretty much. It profoundly challenges centuries of philosophy that relied more on language or subjective experience.
Okay.
His core insight is that being, in its purest form, before we structure it, is inconsistent or pure multiplicity. Think of it like a sheer, undifferentiated soup of potentiality, a raw, unorganized profusion where nothing has a name or a boundary or even a distinct identity yet.
Just chaos.
Pure potential chaos, yes. That's being before we try to make sense of it. From this, we get structured reality, what he calls a situation, and that happens through an operation he terms the count as one.
The count as one.
Okay.
That's how we impose order, make sense of the world. But the central drama, the real engine of the book, is the event.
The event, right.
This is a rare, unpredictable rupture, a contingent thing that happens on the edge of a situation, bringing forth something entirely new, something the established order previously thought was nothing or impossible.
And this connects to the subject.
Exactly. Which brings us to the subject. Now, this isn't your everyday self or conscious ego. For Badiou, a subject is brought into being by declaring fidelity to an event, committing to tracing its consequences.
So the subject follows the event.
Precisely. Now, the book is dense, no doubt. It's aimed at philosophers, mathematicians, critical theorists. But its implications for how we understand change and human agency are truly profound for all of us, I think.
Okay, let's really try and unpack this universe Badiou is building, starting right at the foundation. In those early meditations of the book, he lays out this thesis. Mathematics is ontology.
The core claim.
And it's radical because he argues the one is not. So to put it simply, being is the multiple.
It's fundamentally multiple.
Right. Imagine not just a messy collection, but that sheer, undifferentiated soup of potentiality again. Raw, unorganized, where nothing has a name or boundary yet. That's Badiou's pure multiplicity.
The starting point.
And our experienced reality, a situation, only comes into being when we perform this count as one operation. That's when we impose structure, organize it, make sense of the chaos, turn it into a coherent set.
We create the one out of the multiple.
But what about the nothing you mentioned, the origin point? Badiou anchors his whole system with this, well, paradoxical concept, the void.
Ah, yes, the empty set.
Right. And in set theory, the empty set isn't just nothingness like we normally think of it, is it?
No, not quite. For Badiou, it's the fundamental building block of all multiples. It's the unique name for nothing that paradoxically makes everything else possible.
So nothing is something.
Or the basis for something. In a way, yes, it's the ultimate foundation. And he uses Zermelo Frankel set theory, ZFC, as his formal system for all this.
Okay, ZFC.
Think of ZFC as the precise mathematical language Badiou uses to build his entire universe. Like a physicist uses specific equations. It's the grammar and vocabulary he uses to articulate being itself.
This raises an important question then. If being starts from this nothing, this void, and then gets structured, how does that structure get maintained? How do we stop meaning from just, you know, dissolving?
Excellent question. And that brings us to how situations are stabilized. In the next chunk of the book, Badiou elaborates on these situations, our structured realities, and how they're maintained.
Okay.
He introduces the power set axiom. Now, philosophically speaking, this implies there's always an inherent excess in any situation. The possible combinations and relations of elements are always way more numerous than the elements themselves.
An excess, like untapped potential.
Sort of. Unstructured potential within the structure. And this excess needs to be managed, otherwise things could fall apart. That's where the state of the situation comes in.
The state. Okay, sounds important.
It is. Think of it as a metastructure. Almost like the government or maybe the police of a situation. Mm. Its job is to count not just the elements, but all the possible subsets, all those combinations.
To keep tabs on everything.
Exactly. Ensuring coherence, representation, control. It's like this cosmic bureaucracy making sure no loose ends threaten the established reality.
So it's managing the excess.
And what's really critical here is that the state's primary job is to prevent the void, that underlying nothingness, from erupting, to maintain the existing order and keep everything accounted for, classified, represented.
So it's basically a cosmic auditor constantly tallying everything up to maintain order, even counting all the potential subsets.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, that really sets the stage then for the breaking point, the event.
The rupture.
This is the pivotal concept, right? He talks about an event site. What's that?
An event site is a specific location within a situation where elements are on the edge of the void.
Edge of the void, meaning?
Meaning they are uncounted or unrepresented by the established order, by the state. Imagine individual workers in a factory. They're counted as individuals, but their potential collective solidarity or a new political idea forming among them. Hmm. That might not be counted or represented by the current structure. That's an event site, a potential powder keg.
Got it. And the event itself?
The event itself is a multiple. It's made up of elements from the situation, but, and this is key, the event multiple itself doesn't belong to the situation according to the current rules. It's an illegal or illegitimate formation.
Ah, okay. Like your French Revolution example earlier. Mm. Made of French people, but the revolution itself was something new and outside the old rules.
Exactly that. And the event is fleeting. It's evanescent. It happens and it's gone in an instant almost.
So it vanishes.
It can vanish. For it to have any lasting impact, there has to be an intervention.
Intervention.
This is the crucial decision. It's a wager, really, without any guarantee. It's someone deciding to declare that the event did happen, that this unnameable thing was real and meaningful.
So what does this actually mean for us then? Is it saying true change isn't inevitable?
That's a huge part of it. It requires this profound leap of faith, this courageous commitment to something that the current reality doesn't recognize.
Wow, okay.
And following that leap, that intervention, a new reality starts to be forged. And this happens through the subject and fidelity.
Okay, subject and fidelity. Let's break those down. The subject isn't the usual me.
No, Badiou radically redefines the subject. It's not a pre-existing consciousness or ego. Instead, a subject is brought into being by that act of intervention and the subsequent commitment of fidelity.
So fidelity creates the subject?
The subject is the process of fidelity, in a sense. Badiou calls the subject a finite point in an infinite truth process. It's like a militant of the event, someone dedicated to its unfolding.
A militant of the event. I like that. And fidelity.
Fidelity is the hard work. It's the laborious process of investigating the old situation. But now from the perspective of the new event, the subject basically asks, okay, if I assume the event took place, what does the world look like now?
So reevaluating everything.
Yes. Finding new connections, weaving a new coherence, patiently building proof, you could say, that this new truth unleashed by the event is real, and this process produces truth.
Ah, so truth isn't just static fact.
Not for Badiou. Truth is the generic set produced by fidelity. It's a truth that applies universally for everyone, cutting across old identities or categories.
This makes you wonder, though, how do we apply this pretty profound idea of fidelity to, like, everyday commitments in our own lives, beyond just grand political moments?
That's exactly the right question to ask, and we'll get to some applications later. It definitely translates.
Okay, so this leads into the most technical part, right? Good. Meditations 33:37.
Right.
Using Paul Cohen's forcing.
Right, the most mathematically dense section.
Now, the math itself is way beyond our scope here.
Mm-mm.
But what's the philosophical takeaway? Why does he bring in forcing?
The profound takeaway, simplifying a lot, is this. Badiou uses forcing as a mathematical analogy or even proof to show how a subject's faithful commitment can literally force a new truth, a new reality into existence.
Force it into existence?
Yeah, in a way that genuinely extends the existing framework, the existing model of reality, without causing a contradiction.
So it's not just destroying the old, it's adding something fundamentally new that is still coherent.
Exactly. It's a mathematical demonstration for him that radical change isn't just a destructive break, but a coherent, logical possibility. It shows how the new doesn't just replace the old, but genuinely adds to the fabric of reality in a structured way.
Wow. Okay.
And this eventually points towards what he calls the unnameable, the ultimate truth that kind of gestures towards a new reality, something beyond the language and categories of the old situation.
A reality we can't yet name.
Precisely.
Okay. So pulling all of this together, let's try and distill some core themes, some messages from Badiou that really offer those aha moments.
Sounds good. First, definitely the idea of mathematics as the language of being.
That core claim again.
Yeah. For Badiou, math isn't just a useful tool. It is the very discourse of existence. Like, scientific laws describe reality. He pushes it further, saying the pure formalism of set theory reveals being itself in its most fundamental unstructured state.
Okay, number one, what's next?
Second, the event as the source of all novelty. True change, he argues, is abrupt. It's a rupture, not just gradual evolution.
Like a sudden breakthrough.
Exactly. Think of a breakthrough in science, a radical political shift, maybe even a personal epiphany. These are Badiou's events, moments that totally redefine what's possible.
Okay.
Third, the subject as militant and creator. Your identity isn't fixed or just given to you. You become a subject by committing to an event. It's about active participation in forging new truths, not just being an observer, finding purpose in that commitment.
Right. It's active.
Fourth, truth as an infinite process. Truth isn't just out there waiting to be discovered like some hidden object. It's produced.
Through that hard work of fidelity.
Exactly. It's an ongoing journey of creation and expansion, never fully complete.
And finally.
Finally, he frames all this within the four truth procedures. Science, politics, art, and love. These are the fundamental domains for him where events happen and truths emerge. Where we transcend just, you know, surviving and create a truly human world.
Science, politics, art, love.
Mm.
Okay, even in such a dense philosophical work, there are definitely some incredibly powerful, memorable lines or ideas that just stick with you.
Absolutely.
Let's reflect on a few of those. One that really encapsulates the core argument, I think, is this. Ontology, as the science of being qua being.
The study of existence itself.
Right, has existed since the Greeks. We are saying that it is this very science which, under the name of mathematics, has today accomplished a degree of rigor and conceptual creativity that is without parallel in its long history.
It's such a bold statement.
It really is. This isn't just theory. It's him declaring a refoundation of how we understand existence, claiming modern math is the ultimate language of being.
And then there's that profoundly simple, yet totally radical statement. The void is the proper name of being.
Yeah, what does that really hit on?
I think it means that if being fundamentally starts from nothing, from this void, it completely changes our perception of what's real and what's possible. It dissolves our common sense assumptions about what reality needs to be built on. It's a foundational shift in perspective.
Okay, another powerful idea, maybe paraphrasing a bit. An event is a multiple whose elements all belong to the situation, but which does not itself belong to it.
Right.
It's made of what's already there, the existing elements, but it forms something completely new, something illegal according to the old rules, like that crowd becoming a revolution or a sudden artistic movement erupting.
It's a rupture, but built from the existing fabric. That tension is key.
Yeah. And finally, that definition of our role. A subject is a finite point in an infinite process of truth.
I find that one fascinating. It shifts the focus, doesn't it? From who you are, your static identity, to what you are doing, what you're committed to.
In service of something bigger.
Exactly. In service of a larger universal truth process. It's about becoming an active agent of change, a dedicated explorer of these new realities opened up by an event.
Okay, so let's bring this down to earth. What does this all mean for you, the listener? How do these pretty abstract ideas from being an event actually apply to real life?
The practical side.
Yeah. Let's look at personal transformation through, say, love. Badiou talks about love as a truth procedure. So a chance encounter with someone who just profoundly changes your perspective.
That could be an event.
Right. That's the event. Then the decision to commit to that person, maybe to say I love you for the first time, and really decide to build a shared life together.
That's the intervention, the leap.
That's the intervention, the courageous wager. And then the hard work of actually building that shared world, navigating challenges, creating what Badiou calls a truth of the two, a genuinely new shared reality.
That's fidelity.
That's fidelity. It's not just a passive feeling. It's this active, creative, enduring commitment to forging a new world together.
Yeah, that framework extends really powerfully to professional and scientific innovation, too. Think about any field, the established way of doing things, the current paradigms. That's the situation.
Okay.
A disruptive idea, a scientific breakthrough that challenges assumptions, maybe an entirely new business model. These can function as events that break the existing rules.
Right. They seem impossible at first.
Exactly. And the scientist or the entrepreneur or the team that commits to this new idea, often facing skepticism from the establishment, they become the subject forging a new truth.
Through fidelity again.
Through fidelity, yeah. Working through the consequences, building the evidence, creating a new paradigm, extending what was previously thought possible.
Or think about political and social activism. An unjust system, a seemingly unchangeable political reality that's a situation.
Yeah.
A protest, an uprising, a new political declaration that captures people's imagination that can function as an event, a rupture.
Yeah.
And the activists, the organizers, the people who carry that initial spark forward, they are the subjects whose fidelity, their sustained work, organizing, advocating, translates the event's promise into lasting social change.
Forcing a new political truth into existence.
Exactly. Even when the initial energy of the event itself fades, it's that sustained commitment, the fidelity, that makes the real difference.
And maybe pulling back a bit, Badiou's philosophy offers this powerful way of developing resilience and purpose.
How so?
Well, in a world that often encourages cynicism or maybe just resignation, you know, that's just the way things are. Badiou insists that the established order isn't all there is. There's always the possibility of the event.
A potential for rupture.
Yes. And we can find profound purpose beyond just looking out for ourselves, beyond mere self-interest, by committing to these truth procedures he identifies in art, science, politics, or love.
So it's about finding something to be faithful to.
Exactly. It's about having the courage to recognize and declare fidelity to the events in our own lives, the moments that break open new possibilities, and actively participating in creating a new truth, shaping the world around us instead of just, you know, reacting to it.
Okay, so wrapping this up, the most valuable lessons, maybe, from being an event are that our world is this dynamic interplay. There are stable structures, yes, but always the potential for radical rupture, For you, the listener, maybe three paradigm shifts stand out.
Okay.
First, that change, real change, is often abrupt, not gradual. It comes from these unpredictable events that break the rules.
The rupture.
Second, who you are isn't fixed.
Yeah.
It's defined by what you are faithful to. Subjectivity is an active commitment to a cause, an idea, a love, something larger than yourself.
Action defines identity.
And third, truth isn't just found, it's made. It's a laborious, almost militant process of construction requiring courage and perseverance.
This work.
Definitely. So while it's challenging, Betty's philosophy is ultimately one of, well, profound hope, I think. It offers these powerful tools for thinking about and maybe even participating in creating a different world.
Absolutely. And perhaps this raises an important final question for you, the listener, to consider. In your own life, what events have truly ruptured your situation? Maybe an unexpected encounter, a groundbreaking idea you stumbled upon, perhaps even a moment of crisis that changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the real question is, are you willing to declare fidelity to them, to commit to exploring their consequences, to forge a new truth and actively shape your reality based on that rupture? Something to mull over.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.